Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again. With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of ITL on FNTSY, and I have a special guest that I don't know that we've done something one-on-one here, Nate. It's Nate Hamilton. You can find him on the Twitter at DominateFF. He's on Fantrax with me. He co-hosts the Fantasy Tilt Pod. He does so much writing over at Fantrax. It's incredible. So, Nate, what is going on, man?
Hey, you forgot part of the Fantasy Football Black Book as well.
That's right.
Which you were on as well this year. So thanks for having me. Yeah, no, we haven't done this yet. So I'm excited to talk some football with you.
What did you write up in the Black Book? Because I did 976 pages of rookies.
I did about 974 pages. So you have me beat there. no, I mean, I teamed up with Joe and we did the mock drafting for all the different formats. So we did that, and I did obviously like player profiles and things like that, and strategy, right. Exactly. So, and then I dipped my hand in a few other categories in there as well. But yeah, man, an amazing team this year, so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's I just had Joe on. We talked all about it, how it's number two in football books and number one in fantasy books. We beat out Quidditch again.
That's fantastic.
Quidditch ain't anything, so we always are beating up Quidditch. But it's been fun, man. I can't believe that, I asked Joe, I was like, do you want to have me on a word limit or anything? And he's like, no, just whatever you think. I'm like, are you sure? Cause I can go overboard sometimes. He's like, no, whatever you think. So I'm like, all right. So I sent it to him and it was 50 pages on my Word document. And of course he's like, yeah, we had to lower that spacing a little bit. So 29 pages awesome. Of rookies, but it was a lot of fun. Labor intensive, but always fun. And you are obviously a part of that team, but you and I have been known because you popped up on the Black Book show with myself and the Welsh. You and I have had a couple disagreements here and
just
there.
Just a couple. That's right.
And it's like, it really is actually just a couple, but they have been intense, which is what
they
I
have.
Love.
Me too. I think we're both very passionate with our takes and our stances that we don't back down from them, you know? So until we have to, of course.
But, yeah, right. Know, well, I mean, the biggest one was, I think the one to kick it off was Hopkins versus AB. So, yes. Which you got me on that one because I look, AB is still, I think he's just as good as Hopkins, but he's got Derek Carr throwing him the ball now. So as far as fantasy goes, you know, yeah. Hopkins is number one wide receiver. You have to take that.
That's right.
Last year though, you got pretty annoyed at me because I was a huge Christian McCaffrey fan going in.
Yes.
You weren't, you know, you were a little concerned about CJ Anderson, which was the right take with the wrong team. You know, CJ Anderson was actually really good with the Rams, but he wasn't good with the Panthers. And I was just tweeting you constant Christian McCaffrey, gifts. And,
it made my season a living hell for me, but yeah, you know, but the truth is, you know, you say CJ Anderson was good with the Rams, but he was also good the year before. He was a 1,000-yard rusher with the Broncos. So I thought for sure he was going to be the early down guy because Christian McCaffrey hadn't really done that.
Right.
So, you know, Greg Olsen was a big reason for that as well, because I know that's a huge target for Cam. And sure enough, you know, the stars aligned. They
shoulder injury too. Anderson. I mean, he was checking down. So yeah, you're right.
So exactly the shoulder. That's so. At least you understand what my process was.
Yeah.
None of it played out. That's all.
I respect the process, but what I was saying is, look, man, I watched this guy at Stanford. He touched the ball 300 times. He can do this, and everybody's saying he can't because he's a skinny white dude. So in this year, he looks even bigger, and they're talking about lowering his, not his touches, but his plays. So, I mean, he's a top four guy now. So
he won me over. I'm a fan.
That is why I wrote up the rookies for the Black Book right there. I had the good call on CMC, but it's a lot of fun, and we are going to pick up right here where Joe left off. And we were doing the NFC North, so how about we start in the AFC South here? And we're going to start out with Houston. And now, you know, we saw this Kiki QT injury on Thursday. We'll see how bad that's going to be. But they just added Duke Johnson. And I want to know what your take is on how is Duke Johnson going to impact Lamar Miller, if at all. Are you moving Lamar Miller around your board at all?
I am. Well, now that Duke Johnson's there, I wasn't high on Lamar Miller. I just thought he's a very good serviceable back for, you know, at his ADP. You know, I think you get a great value for him. He's very boring. I understand he is, but he's been pretty damn good. He's had 1,000 all-purpose yards in 5 consecutive seasons. So, but now that Duke Johnson is there, I was high on Duke Johnson, and I was hoping that he would go to like Tampa Bay. You know, that was my ideal situation for him. But, you know, he can thrive in this offense as well. And I think they're going to definitely give him plenty of opportunity to do so. I'm kind of fading a little bit more on Lamar Miller. But like I said, I wasn't very high to begin with, but I was just, I think I like him more than everybody likes to dump on Lamar Miller. It's easy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and I put that one in specifically for you. Like, Lamar Miller's so damn boring, you know, but he's good. You know, he's a good back, and he has been a good back for a while. He's just so damn boring, and we keep waiting for something to happen and somebody to take over, and it just keeps not happening. So I haven't lowered Duke at all, or excuse me, I haven't lowered Lamar at all on my list, because I think Duke Johnson is going to come in here and have kind of the Austin Eckler role. You know what I mean? Like where they have in Los Angeles with the Chargers, where they have those guys. I mean, obviously that's going to change because Melvin Gordon's holdout and all that stuff, but he's a secondary guy and he has his role. And Lamar has his role. And I don't think much changes with that one. Why don't we move to the Colts? And how about the guy that Houston cut? They cut my guy, Deontay Foreman, and I was very upset by that. But I kind of feel like because Bill O'Brien loves Lamar Miller so much that it may be better for Mack to get out of Houston and get onto another team. But Marlon Mack has been very successful. I always kind of felt and still do that Marlon Mack, while he has produced, is kind of just a guy. He's kind of like Jordan Howard in Philly. You know what I mean? Like if there's someone else that's going to outperform him, it's not going to take much to push him off. That might be Deontay Foreman, but Deontay Foreman coming off the Achilles injury was absolutely just a guy last year. So where do you kind of stand on Foreman coming into Indianapolis and messing this up potentially for Mack?
Well, I don't think he's going to. And here's why. I was never a fan of Foreman. I think everybody, because of the hatred so much for Lamar Miller, was just waiting for the next guy up, right? It could have been anybody. Name, you know, just pick a name. I bet people were just hoping Alfred Blue would become something. But for me, Dante Foreman, I just was never a fan. I mean, for me, typically, I know it's different for you. You watch a lot of college ball. I don't. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm more apt to gravitate toward the guys that are proven talent.
Right.
And until you do that for me, you're kind of off my radar. I'm sorry. Like, you know, obviously I can separate those things like Saquon Barkley, those types of guys.
Of course, yeah.
I know they're going to have an impact, but especially somebody like Foreman, he was there for how many years now? And he just never really took off with it. So, and now they've surprisingly let him go. And it sounds like he's got, you know, some poor work ethic. And I think Indy, this sounds like I don't know, conspiracy theory, I guess, but it is possible. It is in the same division. It is possible that they're trying to get some
up the playbook.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. A player could be completely that, you know, they just got let go, got cut from a team, that they'll pull them in and be like, hey, you know, we're going to pack, you know, we got an unbelievable role for you, blah, blah, blah. Soften them up. And then, you know, hey, spill your beans. What do they got going on? what's in the playbook? What's going on for them this season? And it's highly possible. But besides that, I just don't think he's going to play much of a factor, especially screwing things up for Mac. Like you, I'm not a big fan of Marlon Mack, but I think he's got tremendous upside given the offense that he's in.
Yeah, and that's why I like Mac too. So I'm a little scared of Foreman, but I mean, I'm not going to X-Files this and think that it's a conspiracy theory or anything, but I think that there could be something to, they just want to push Mac. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let's bring in a young guy that needs to prove himself and see if we can push Mac. And I was, to be quite frank, I was really surprised that the Colts didn't take someone in the draft, because people were asking me about, you know, where some of these running backs can go and this and that. And I said I would not be surprised if they added somebody, because I like Nyheim Hines, but he has his role. So I think they could add someone to push Mac. They didn't do it during the draft, but they did wait for Foreman to get cut. So I thought it was a good move. And, you know, we'll see if I think if Foreman can regain what he had before the Achilles tear, he'll push Mac right out of the job. I just don't know if that's the case. So it's unfortunate for him coming off that injury. But going to Jacksonville. And this one, Joe and I will argue until I'm blue in the face in this one. But is Fournette worth it? And I thought Joe was going to be answering this, so I said, no. All right, what if he falls in a deep league and you handcuff? So what is your take on Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, for me, I'm not as bullish as Joe is on hating Fournette so much. And, you know, I understand his frustration. I really do. But for me, I think Fournette has proven he can handle volume. But, you know, just like there's so many, a big percentage of players right now where you could say when healthy, he's, you know, efficient. He can do well. And that's how I feel about Fournette. Does his injury factor into me drafting him? For sure it does. Yes. But I do believe that, hey, if he's ready week one and, he, you know, I don't see him not being the guy there, you know? So I think if he's ready, if he's healthy, he's going to be full go, full systems go in that offense. And I think he's got a tremendous upside. So I like him.
Who's the handcuff for you to him? Is it, I like Reichwell Armstead, but Alfred Blue has the experience. We know that you're, you know, show it to me first, guys. So is it Alfred Blue for you?
No, it's Fournette or nobody.
Fournette or nobody.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if I'm going to draft him, I'm assuming the risk. And as far as handcuffs go, the way I feel about handcuffs is I'd rather just draft depth at that position, knowing if something happens that I can put somebody that I already know is going to be serviceable. So I'm not a huge fan in handcuffing, because they can end up just sitting on your roster all season. You've got a wasted bench spot.
All right. How much, I mean, do you think, is Freeman a risk worth taking this year? And this is an interesting question, because it kind of seemed like it was going to be, you know, Freeman and Ito Smith was going to be the Tevin Coleman. After the first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, people were talking about how Brian Hill outplayed Ito Smith. And I was like, I don't know about that. We'll see. But then, you know, we have the coaching staff come out and say, yeah, it's a pretty open competition for whoever the number two back is going to be. So now it does seem like it's Freeman and then a bunch of nobodies behind him. So are you in on drafting Devontae Freeman this season?
I mean, I am. Yeah, I love Freeman, and I was a huge fan of his. The only thing that worries about me is his running style. He reminds me a lot of Marion Barber, and I don't know if you remember who Marion Barber
the Barbarian.
Is.
That's right, man.
Yeah, so he's really hard-nosed. He embraces the hits. He's like, come on, come at me. And so that kind of worries me that he can sustain a full season. So you got to factor that in when you're drafting Freeman, but definitely no Tevin Coleman this year. Man, he's got a great opportunity there in Atlanta, and I'm pretty excited for his 2019 season.
We have to go back, because I forgot to ask you something here. Indianapolis, yeah. Devin Funchess. They brought in Brandon Marshall for an interview here. Haven't signed him or anything yet, but are you? I know you're the Devin Funches guy, right?
I am. Yeah.
And it's funny because I've been doing some mock drafts and I've been looking at Funches and I go, oh God, I have to take him.
See?
But I don't want to have to take him here because of Nate. Like,
yeah, I know.
You're the guy. And I argued vehemently against Devin Funches, who he just never made sense to me, right? Like, he's a kind of a tweener because he started out at tight end and he split out wide at Michigan. And then they kind of made him a wide receiver, but he was still too big to be playing wide receiver in the NFL. So I don't know. He just never really fit anything for me. So
I think he fits for Indy. And I think that's exactly the reasons you just said. I think that's exactly why they brought him on. He's essentially another tight end for Andrew Luck, Mr. Touchdown Machine, to target in the end zone.
They need three tight ends?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Three quality tight ends. I mean, he's got, and if everyone wants to downplay Devin Funches and worry about Eric Ebron, Mr. 13 touchdowns, and Jack Doyle, if they want to worry about those two guys, then guess what? That's going to leave a lot of field open for Devin Funches. And I think he's going to eat up a lot of, I think he's going to get 8 to 10 touchdowns this year.
Well, he's going to eat up a lot. He constantly has. We know that. So. Hey,
as tight ends do. Okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, I'm not going to bash on anybody for eating a bunch of food. So I don't have the right. So I don't know. He just really concerns me, but you're, I mean, so how many drafts have you done and how many times have you taken him?
I've done probably 5 or 6 drafts at this point, and I think I've gotten him 4 times.
4 shares of Devin Funches.
Four
he better
shares.
Be good, man.
When yeah, but it's 10th round.
We discussed
this on the Black Book, and I knew that's why I was going to own a bunch of Funches this year, is just because, you know, I mean, once you get to the 10th round, for me, I see high upside in that offense with Andrew Luck, and I'm gonna take a stab at it. You know,
God, Devin Funches. I don't know. I gotta look to see who he's going around. But
yeah, you should.
Let's see. Okay, Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Devin Funches?
Funches, because I'm going Allison.
All right, hold on. Let's see. How about Moncrief or Funches?
Funches.
I'm going Moncrief there. Easy.
That's okay.
Tyrell Williams, I'd take Funches. Yep. I'd take him over Gallup and Deshaun Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
How about if we're looking at a flex, Duke Johnson or Devin Funches?
Ooh, man. I mean, I love running backs. So I think you just got me there.
All right.
I totally expect Duke Johnson's ADP to move up now that he's with Houston.
He should, yeah.
So he won't even be in that range.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back to talk more of these questions with Nate Hamilton at DominateFF on the Twitter. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Can't believe what fell on your dreams. Yes. Hot down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
All right, we're back with more of Nate Hamilton, and this is ITL on FNTSY. We're answering. What I did was with Joe and Nate, I picked the best questions from every team. And we're on the Carolina Panthers of the NFC South here, Nate. And the question is, why do you still hate Christian McCaffrey?
I don't. He's my number 3 running back this year. And, you know, you want to just keep rubbing that in my face. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, you called me crazy for liking Devontae Adams last year as much as I did.
I didn't call crazy. I said I wouldn't take him over Antonio Brown. And I didn't. I didn't own any shares of Devontae Adams. And I owned
a bunch, and it paid off well.
Congratulations. Yeah. I mean, he's really good. So
yeah, we both can be smart, you know, Scott.
Yes. We both are smart. Yes.
Yes.
You you know, Joe's not going to hire dummies to write in his book. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, we're good. We're in the black book. We've done all kinds of stuff. We're on fan tracks. Talk about this stuff. Look, everybody gets one wrong every once in a while. I mean, it was a big one.
It was a big one. That's all.
God, who was it the year that he blew out his knee? Not Steve Slayton. Who was the guy before him? It was two D's.
No,
it was before Foster even too.
Oh wow!
On the Texans, God, I can't remember his name.
No, that's just.
But I was so big on whoever that was. I drafted him everywhere, and then he blew out his knee like the last preseason game or week three, and I was like, okay, well, it looks like I'm gonna enjoy basketball this year because all my football teams are shot. But my real question on Carolina is Curtis Samuel. The hype train has been taking off on him. And I want to know, are you on board the hype train? Because I have always thought that Curtis Samuel is better than what he's shown. But I don't know if I'm on board this hype train.
All right. So the first thing you said is that you feel like his talent is always or has been more than what is shown. And I agree with that. I think that Curtis Samuel is a great talent in that offense. And I was very excited for him last year, to be honest. But, you know, for me, I think he's got a better opportunity than DJ Moore this year. And I just think he's a more versatile type wide receiver. You know, I think you can play him in the slot. He can out, you know, run anybody and go deep. So for me, I really like Curtis Samuel, and he's not afraid to go for it. You know, the other thing with DJ Moore is he had some fumble issues last year, and you know, I think they're both pretty even with their potential heading into the season, especially with Cam Newton's shoulder a lot better, obviously. But I think Curtis Samuel reminds me. So it kind of reminds me a lot of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders situation.
Okay. But yeah, where they could both succeed, but you're not sure if they're both going to.
Right. But I also think that Curtis Samuel will be the more consistent option, you know, and then maybe DJ Moore has the bigger boom, but maybe he fluctuates a little bit more. So yes and no, I'm on the hype train, but if his ADP, I was on the hype train because of his ADP.
You're on the caboose of the hype train here.
That's right. So if it continues to rise, then I'm going to fall off.
I'm looking at Fantasy Pros ranks, and I always look for PPR because that's what I play in the most. So
yeah.
Curtis Samuel is one spot ahead of Dede Westbrook. Is that you like him over Dede?
100%.
He is one spot behind Sterling Shepard. Shepard or Samuel?
Samuel.
Samuel or Larry Fitzgerald?
Samuel.
I'm going Larry on that one. Samuel or Marvin Jones?
Samuel. Still.
And I think I'm going Marvin Jones. I think this is where we part ways. One more. Will Fuller.
Man, that's tough. If I have a lot of consistent players on my team, then I'll go Will Fuller. If I've got a lot of variable players like Will Fuller, then I'm going Curtis Samuel.
All right. Yeah. So I think you have, you're on the hype train, but you're not ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not throwing him up there. I have some people like, what is his high rank here? Hold on. Let me look. Where'd he go? His high rank is 58 overall. So that would put him, let me just go and see who's 58 on the, over OJ Howard, over Jarvis Landry, over David Montgomery, over Mike Williams.
No, that's too much. Insane. That's crazy. And like I said, you know, I'm on the hype train of his current ADP. If that rises, forget about it.
How about we go to New Orleans? And this question I wrote before Sean Payton came out the other day with the comments. And my question was, will Alvin Kamara get even more work or will Latavius Murray get the Mark Ingram treatment? Now, we seem to have had that answered because Sean Payton said we expect Alvin Kamara to have a similar role. So, because of those comments, are you going to move Latavius Murray up, or were you already fairly high on Latavius Murray? Because he comes at a value, especially on our mothership here on Fantrax. He's the lowest out of ESPN, Yahoo, and Fantrax. That's where his ADP is the lowest. So what is your take on Latavius Murray for 2019?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy high on him. And, you know, man, so last year, the coach, his name's getting out of my head now all of a sudden.
Zimmer?
Sean Payton. No,
oh,
Sean
Payton. Payton.
He said the same thing last year. He's like, you know, hey, you know, he's going to get the same treatment or whatever. But the first 4 weeks that Mark Ingram was out, we saw how unbelievable Alvin Kamara was handling the full workload and everything. So he's capable for sure of doing it. And Latavius Murray is not Mark Ingram. So that's the one thing that has me thinking Alvin Kamara is going to see a bit of, you know, a bit of a boost in volume this season compared to last year, even when, you know, when Mark Ingram came back. I see him somewhere in between where he started and where he finished last season as far as volume goes. So, but Latavius Murray in a high scoring offense where, you know, Drew Brees isn't throwing as much as he used to, I do like him if I need depth at the position when he comes up, but he's not somebody I'm searching out in drafts, you know?
All right. Yeah. Cause I do like him. And my thing with Kamara is I feel like they bumped him up a little bit last season because I knew they had Mark Ingram coming back after his 4-game suspension, mm-hmm. Because he's a giant cheater or whatever. So, he never really took a ton of carries at Tennessee either. Like, I think his most touches in a game was somewhere around 21, but he averaged like, I think it was right below 15. It was like between 15 and 17, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. So I think Kamara works perfect how he is already. So I expect Latavius Murray to be a lot like Mark Ingram, but I know there's going to be those games where they're just, you know, look, Murray's not working. We got to go right to Kamara a little bit more. So and that's why Kamara's a top four back. And,
of course.
And so I admit that freely. But I think I'm liking, especially as a first backup, as like a RB4, I think Murray's a great at. So
for sure.
Tampa Bay. Who the hell's running back in Tampa Bay, Nate? Which one do you want to own?
Well, it was supposed to be Duke Johnson. And that didn't happen. You know, that was my dream spot
we
for
wish,
him.
Right.
Yeah, I thought he could actually handle even some early down work there. But there isn't one that, at least for fantasy purposes, that I'm interested in at all. I think all this does is boost, you know, Jameis Winston's value. It boosts, obviously, the wide receivers there. You know, Chris Godwin, I'm huge on. O.J. Howard, man, I think he's a top three tight end this year.
Which one?
Ertz, actually.
Over
I think
Ertz.
I have Ertz at four.
Is that because of Goddard?
Goddard does play a role in it, but it's also the health of Carson Wentz. I'm not sure he can stay healthy, and they don't have Mr. Nick Foles to come in and save the day.
Very
should
true.
Something happen. So I kind of took a couple games off of him.
Okay.
O.J. Howard, I just think that Winston's going to throw he's going to throw a ton this year, and it's because they don't really have a clear defined running back in this offense. So I'm staying clear away from this backfield.
And even if they do, their defense sucks. So
right.
They're going to be down in so many games. They're going to be playing catch up in so many games. And I've been an O.J. Howard mark since watching him at Alabama. He's unbelievable, and he's a matchup nightmare and just a lot of fun. So I expect him to have a good season too. I don't know if I put him ahead of Ertz quite yet, but I think he could push himself up into that discussion for sure this season. Let's go to the AFC West here. Denver. Lindsay is the better back. He outplayed Freeman last year. It wasn't close. Yes, Freeman got banged up, but Lindsay was just flat out better. But Lindsay got banged up at the end of the year. It took him a while to recover from this wrist injury. And Freeman has been, you know, he's getting a lot of run and he's being talked about a bunch. So are you looking at Lindsay? Are you looking at Freeman? And what do you think that split's going to be like in Denver this season?
I'm taking a ton of Lindsay in my drafts. Just
yes.
He's like, to me, he's like the perfect. I'm getting him as my RB3 in some cases. It's ridiculous. You know, between I'm pairing him with Kenyon Drake in a lot of leagues as my second and third running back, whoever ends up being, you know, one or the other. But I love Lindsay, man. I mean, what he did last year, no coach in their right mind is just going to come in and be like, well, yeah, thank you so much for that. But you're going to be absolutely nothing because we've got this other guy who failed to prove that he could take over you last season. we're now going to give him 50% of the share. I just don't believe it. I see more 65-35 best case scenario for Royce Freeman. I can't imagine them being close to 50-50.
Nate, we're lockstep in this one. And good, it's not because my hair is exactly like Philip Lindsay's right now, but it's because the guy was a monster at Colorado. And I know, you know, Colorado doesn't have to play against great defenses, in the Pac-12. It's usually pretty much shootouts in the Pac-12 because the defensive players are taking a step back recently. But
right.
He's undersized, and that was the thing. Like, he didn't test well. He came in a little bit undersized. And for me, you know, a guy that's 5'8", I'm rooting for those little guys every single time. So I really like Philip Lindsay. I think he's better. You know, I didn't know that he was better than Freeman going into the season, but he just so soundly outplayed him. And he went to the Pro Bowl. I mean, the dude was good. I know.
So I a few weeks ago, I just said he was second in the NFL with 5.4 yards per carry for any running back with 68 carries or more. Because, you know, there's one running back that has like 67 carries. That has a little bit more than that, but that's not enough. So he's the only running back to have 1,000 rushing yards with under 200 carries, which I understand is like, you know, people.
Yeah, you talk about volume. I get it.
Yeah, they can't maintain that or whatever. But I think because he was able to prove that he'll earn the volume this year. He was ninth in rushing yards and tied with in seventh with 9 rushing touchdowns last year. So the guy is a beast, and I don't care about his size.
That was with Case Keenum at the helm.
Right. So I think he's loving the fact that he's playing his hometown, and he's not going to let it go that easy, you know?
Yeah. I really, really like Lindsay. So I'm glad we're lockstep there. We're going to be obnoxious sending each other Lindsay gifts this year.
I love it. Let's do it, man.
Kansas City. What is Damian Williams' ceiling? And if he is to lose the job, who's the one that's going to take his spot? Because we've heard the Welsh put this in my mind a couple weeks back, and I just can't shake it, that if LeSean McCoy gets cut from Buffalo, mm-hmm. and he has obviously history with Andy Reid from their Philly days, I mean, it seems like a great fit. What do you think about that? And is that something that worries you? Or you just roll your eyes until something like that would actually happen? And are you buying in on Damian Williams? Because I am, because I love the offense.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people are high on Williams, is not so much the talent. It's the situation he's in, which is fair. But for me, if we want to talk about LeSean McCoy for a second, I'm not worried about him, even if he does end up here, just because he's such a unique runner. OK, and the way he moves around is not easily done. You know, he does harsh cuts. He does spin moves. He does, he basically unleashes all the tricks every run he has. You know what I'm saying? So at his age, given his age and the wear and tear he has, I think we've already begun to see the decline in him. And what makes him an effective runner, I just don't see him as that guy anymore, unfortunately. And I was a big fan of LeSean McCoy. But getting back to Damian Williams, he's not good enough to hold up on a full season. I'm so down on Damian Williams. It drives me nuts because he's been in the league for 5 years now. Okay. 5 years. His career high in carries was last year with 50. Okay.
Yeah.
He's had plenty of time to become the number one. If he's so good and he's so amazing, you know, there's a reason he hasn't been the guy. Now, he shined for a few weeks at the end of the season. And of course, as fantasy football minds would have it, hey, he helped me win a championship. I owe this guy allegiance forever. and I think that's really, it's an emotional feeling with Damian Williams for a lot of people this year. And they're really not looking at his totality of his career, which has been nothing, you know, up to this point. So for me, I just don't see him maintaining a full season as a workhorse back, because he simply hasn't done it before.
The only argument I have against that, which, isn't fantastic or anything, but it's, he was in Miami. Miami was an absolute mess with him. And I don't know. I just feel like the guys behind him, Carlos Hyde is a plotter, right? The yards per carry have gone down for like three straight seasons. He just doesn't have it anymore, whatever it is. Because if he had it, he would have been decent in Cleveland and not been pushed by a rookie, which Chubb pushed him out the door. And then he went to Jacksonville after Fournette got hurt, and he couldn't do anything in Jacksonville. He was terrible. So I think going to Kansas City, while, you know, it's a better situation than either one of those offensively, I just don't know that he can put it together again. So I wouldn't be surprised, like, if Damian Williams got hurt, or if Carlos Hyde, they gave the most carries to, if he had a decent season. I just don't think it's anything that, you know, we're going to be doing cartwheels for at the end of the year. And I love Darwin Thompson. I know a lot of people are drafting Darwin Thompson. That kid came from Utah State, and he had very few touches there, and he played 1 year, and before that he was a JUCO transfer. So just not a ton of experience for Darwin Thompson. So
I got you.
I think he can be, I think Darwin Thompson can put it together, but I don't think that it's going to be this season. So,
well, the only thing that intrigues me about Carlos Hyde in this situation is at least we have seen him handle a full workload before, you know, and going back to my point on players, which is like, I don't believe it till I see it. You know, you got to string something together enough for me to have value in what I expect from you going forward. So for me, I think I do like Carlos Hyde if he does end up with the opportunity here. I like him a lot.
And Damian Williams has been frustrating, hasn't been getting on the field. We've heard Andy Reid's comments recently, so we'll see how that one pans out. It could be Mr. Outside Hire, like Michael Scott said in The Office, so we'll have to wait and see. But we're going to hit a break here, and we're going to come back and finish off the NFL. We got six teams left to talk about, so we'll see if Nate and I can't get in a fight about any of these other teams here. So we'll be right back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League
in the dark.
All right, you heard it. It's Endless Love with myself and Nate Hamilton. You can find him on the Twitter at DominateFF, contributor to the Black Book, a writer at Fantrax. You host, which pod is it again? What's the one that you host? It's the Fantasy Tilt Pod?
The Fantasy Tilt Podcast with my buddy Keaton Denley. Yes, it's amazing. We have a lot of fun on that podcast where, you know, we start off all of our shows with we get tilted, which is basically we complain about whether it's fantasy football or just like everyday life situations. So we kind of get those things off our chest, and then we read off listener tilts. You know, we have people write in and we read off their tilts as well. And then we get into the crux of our fantasy football show. But it's nice to kind of start off with getting things off our chest, whether it be fantasy related or not.
It raises the blood pressure and then lowers the blood pressure.
That's right. Exactly.
Exactly. So how much is traffic on there? I think that's the thing that bothers me the most is people that can't drive.
Yeah. I mean, Keaton and I could host a completely separate podcast just talking about our anger when it comes to being in the car.
Well, I would be a special guest on that episode.
Well, we'd love to have you.
Without issue. So, or with many issues, I guess I should say. Let's get back to breaking down the most important questions for fantasy from each team in the NFL. We are on the AFC West, and we're going to L.A. with the Chargers. And I said, should we be buying more into Rivers and the wide receivers in L.A., if we assume that this Melvin Gordon holdout is going to get ugly? Should we be buying more into Rivers? Because in the Black Book, quarterback that I thought was overrated, I said Phillip Rivers. Uh-huh. And it's because he has these boom or bust games where he gets you nothing and gets you everything. That's super annoying to have as a quarterback. Right. And but maybe without Gordon, we should be looking more at him. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, Phillip Rivers always been, he's like the classic late round QB, because he finishes the season right around top 12, just outside of it, or you know, sometimes in. So he hovers right around the, you know, end of the QB1 stack. So, but the question is, should we, you know, be buying more into Rivers and the wide receivers? I think that we should have been doing that anyway. Like, you know, it's unbelievable what they've got now, Mike Williams, who I'm a big fan of, and he was able to do that with little volume compared to what I believe he's going to get this year. So we might see a regression in touchdowns for him. But, you know, I do think he's going to get at least 30 more targets or 30 more receptions this year, excuse me. And, you know, that wouldn't shock me at all. And of course, the return of Hunter Henry and, you know, what he does for Phillip Rivers in the end zone area. And I think that's going to just blow the minds off of the defenses when you have both Mike Williams and Hunter Henry to worry about in the end zone. And of course, one of the best receivers in the game, Keenan Allen. So there's plenty to be excited about with this receiving core this year, which obviously in turn, you know, pumps up the value of Phillip Rivers. So yes, we should be valuing them. To me, it makes no difference whether or not Melvin Gordon is there or not, because I think with their pieces they have in place with Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler, I think they can do enough to get by. And I'm not worried about that offensive situation should Gordon not be there. Now, for me, I love Melvin Gordon and I want him there. I've got him on my dynasty team. So, you know, so that's me selfishly looking. But I just think, I don't think he has much of an impact on the rest of the offense should he not show up this season.
Yeah, I'm buying more into it, and I've picked up a little bit of Mike Williams and some mocks and some real drafts too, because I think we need to buy a little bit more into him. So I think that I don't think I'm with you on Phillip Rivers should Melvin Gordon be there. And there's just this team is, I would explain it as rickety, right? Because you have Keenan Allen, who's had a checkered injury history, Mike Williams, right, who's had the vertebrae. Hunter Henry, who's still coming off his ACL stuff.
Fair.
Melvin Gordon on the holdout, you know, so it's rickety. Like if all things are well oiled and working, there's nobody that can stop that offense. But if one piece breaks down, it seems like it kind of starts to move weirdly. So let's move over to Oakland. And I want to know, are we overestimating Josh Jacobs and underestimating Derek Carr? Now, I was a huge Derek Carr fan for a long time, and he looked good. You know, he's making Amari Cooper look good and everything. But last season, he got so beat up, and he looked really gun-shy throwing the ball downfield because Gruden was getting on him about throwing the ball downfield and throwing picks and all that stuff. So he just would not throw the ball downfield. Now, to his credit, Marcel Aitman was his number one. So that's no good. But now that AB is there, assuming his feet are good after this whatever thing that he's going through, Tyrell Williams is there. They got in runner Hunter Renfro from Clemson. I'm starting to like this. Josh Jacobs looks good too. So those two right there, like I think Carr being the main question. Are we low on Carr? And are we too high on a rookie in Josh Jacobs who's going right around RB2 territory?
I think it's a fair question for both. And I'd have to say yes to both because, man, I'm not completely in love with this offense or this organization, I should say, right now with some questionable moves, with some questionable people. They've added their roster. It seems like they don't care about the impact they could have, you know, on the clubhouse.
You don't like Perfect and Incognito? What's your problem? Come on.
I guess I'm a normal human. Right. Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying, though. It's like those questionable characters could eat into the locker room. And I know that's kind of it's a narrative, but I mean, it's a real life thing. And for me, I just Josh Jacobs, he's tremendous talent, but he is a rookie. And we're not going to have these Zekes and Saquons every year. It's not going to happen all the time.
Right.
And I think everyone thinks that because of the first running back taken off the board, they're going to be Zeke. They're going to be Saquon. And for me, I think he's going to be a good, valuable, you know, fantasy asset for where he's being drafted this year. But I just don't see him just going bananas like everyone's predicting. And as far as Derek Carr goes, yeah, he had nobody last year. He was... you know, his tight end, man. He was targeting, you know,
Cook.
Yeah, thank you, Jared Cook. And that's all he had. But to be honest, I think it was the three seasons he had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. He was able to produce top 24 wide receivers. I think they each had right around 1,000 yards and you know, eight or so touchdowns, 6 to 8 touchdowns. I mean, he can do the same with Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams easily. So there are things to like about this offense, but I do get some hesitation just because of the organization as a whole.
You watch Hard Knocks yet?
I haven't seen it yet, no, but I've heard all about it already.
I watch it. I'll admit, okay. I'm getting pumped up. I'm like, man, they're looking good. You got to watch it. But I hate Perfect so much, but that's I'm a Steelers fan. So NFC that's West, last conference here. Arizona, is the Kingsbury offense going to work in the NFL?
Eventually, yes. I'm very skeptical on this year, and I think everybody's just overblown how amazing these, you know, Arizona weapons are going to be for fantasy football. You know, there's a lot of newness going on, right? So it's a new regime. It's a new quarterback, brand new, 2 years in a row now. They can't get their feet, you know, wet enough with an actual quarterback that's going to be there more than a season. Now, obviously, Kyler's better than what was his name? Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Rosen.
But man, again, a lot of newness. There's young talent at the wide receiver position, obviously excluding Fitzgerald. But and then who's he have thrown to tight end? Who's the tight end there? I mean, do we even know?
Charles Clay. Yeah, Ricky Seals Jones is supposed to be the guy, but he started running with the threes to start. So we'll see what happens there. But I like Kyler Murray, so I think it can work. But it's dangerous, right? Because Kingsbury was fired by Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And, you know, then the Cardinals hired him. Like, how do you get fired from Texas Tech, who's maybe the fifth or sixth biggest school in the Big 12, to getting hired by one of the 32 NFL franchises? I don't understand that.
It's the Sean McVay delusion going on in the NFL. And, you know, we've all said it and we've all about that, but it's just that's truly what it was. Like, hey, this guy's very similar. He's, you know, Sean McVay, blah blah blah. He knows him. You know, he touched him once. You know, when they hung out, and now all of a sudden he's got the Midas touch, and he's gonna be our guy going forward. So, I think that plays a role. I still think Kingsbury can be effective in the NFL. I'm just not sold on the fact that everything's gonna click. Look, year one with all these guys. You
I'm
know
a
what I'm
Texas
saying?
Fan, and I'm buying in on Kyler Murray. So that's got to tell you something. Like, I'm still buying it on him, even though I really don't want to. Let's go to L.A. with the Rams and the Midas touch, Sean McVay there. Is Todd Gurley worth the risk? I say yes. I'm still taking him in my top five. I don't care about this knee injury as much as other people do, I guess. I think they're going to limit his touches with Daryl Henderson, but I think he's still going to get the goal line work and, you know, he can take a huge step back and still be very, very productive. So I got him at five overall. What do you think?
Yeah, you just said it. I mean, he can take a somewhat of a hit in his volume and still produce. I'll give you an example. In four of his last five games last year, he had 15 or fewer carries in those games, and he still ended up as the number one number one running back in football. So if that tells you anything, he can still produce with low volume and 15 or fewer carries in those games. And, you know, for me, I think the knee thing has gone way overboard. As this day and age, you know, once something hits social media, forget about it, man. It takes on a life of its own. And they're acting like this arthritic knee is like this monster that's going to consume him in the middle of a game. You know what I'm saying? And just... I think what it was is his workload last year finally caught up to him toward the end. I mean, simply put, it is simple as that.
Well, he said he tweaked it like week one or two.
Yeah, and then he played on it for the entire season.
Yeah, he didn't break down to like week 14 or 15.
Exactly. So if they learn how to kind of not maybe give him as much, but still give him a pretty heavy workload, which I think he still will. Yeah, he's going to be fine. I think he's a top five as well.
Yeah, I think it's overblown, and I think it had become overblown since he was leaving a club in March or whatever, and they saw him limping, you know, and I was just, okay, TMZ, give me a break, you know. Right. Well, why is TMZ factoring into our fantasy football stuff? That's what I want to know. Yeah,
because they wanted a piece of the talk, you know.
Of course. San Francisco. And I think you're obviously going to say yes, because you said Ertz is your odd man out at tight end. Can Kittle repeat his 2018 performance? You say yes.
I say yes, but with the caveat on maybe not as many yards. You know, 1,377 yards is kind of crazy. I mean, that was a heck of a year for him. 136 targets, 88 receptions, which I think it was only 64% catch rate. So, you know, providing he gets 130 something targets again. Yeah, I mean, absolutely, he can repeat that. I do see an increase in his touchdown opportunity this year with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to him. He only had 5 touchdowns last year. So I do see that even if he does see a slight reduction in yards, he makes up for it in fantasy points, at least with his touchdown upside.
Yeah, I really like those wideouts. I'm a huge Deebo Samuel fan. So, and I don't know. Yeah, I know you don't watch a lot of college ball, but he was getting doubled and tripled and all that stuff in college because he was so good. And the one good game where he absolutely broke out was against Clemson, who had some of the best defenders in the country. And it was because they decided they're going to one-on-one Deebo Samuel. So he started torching them. And they had to double him up in the second half. So that's a guy to absolutely watch for. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, wide receiver 2 or anything, but if you want to take a flyer on Deebo Samuel at the end of your drafts, I think it's a smart move. So last team here, Nate, and this is a big one in my book. Where are you going to fall on this? Seattle, Carson or Rashad Penny? Because they've kind of said they're going to go by a game script or a game feel with these guys. But Carson is almost like the Denver situation. He clearly outplayed Penny last year.
Thank you. So, okay. So we're on the same page, I'm assuming, with this one, because it's Chris Carson. It's not even close. I mean, he had the 7th most carries in the NFL last year. He had over 1,000 rushing yards and 9 touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah.
That is production. You don't just like, oh, Rashard Penny didn't do anything last year, by the way. Heads up. Like, he did very little to nothing in his opportunities. I understand it was his first season, but I don't see them. I know they drafted Penny high, and they probably want to work him in just a little bit more this year, but eventually the talent plays out, right? And the talent's going to win the battle there. And for me, it's Chris Carson. Now, there is an injury scare with Carson. I'm a little bit worried about him. If he can stay healthy or not. And I think that's when Penny can finally show up. But if they're both on the field, Chris Carson's going to be the one that dominates, you know, the production for fantasy purposes.
Carson or Lindsay?
Lindsay.
Freeman or Penny?
That's actually closer than I just blurt out quickly. Just because of volume, I think Chris Carson might see more volume than Lindsay, but I think Lindsay's a more explosive running back.
And I'm with you. I'm taking Lindsay over Carson, too. Okay. What about Freeman or Penny? The backups here.
Oh, geez. I guess Penny, because Seattle wants to run the ball a ton.
Yeah, and that's what I would say, too, because I think Freeman could be better than Penny. At least that's what I thought going into the draft last year. So, but they run the ball so much in Seattle. They ran the ball as like 49.1% of the time or whatever it was. It was the most in the NFL. So, and you think they want to keep doing that because they don't want Russell Wilson to get beat up behind what is still a terrible offensive line. And they lost Doug Baldwin, and they bring in the rookie. So it's Lockett and Metcalf as the 1 and the 2 there. They still don't have a very good tight end. Maybe it's Disley. Maybe it's Vanette. I don't know which one they're going to rely on more. So they are going to run the ball a little bit more. So
when it comes to Carson and Penny, I don't understand what we've seen from Penny that is going to make it seem like it's going to be this fair share. Yeah, because Penny had one 100 rush yard game last year. His second best was 65 yards, and everything else was under 50 yards. Yeah. So understand there was a volume situation where he didn't get it. But again, what has he done that has said, yeah, I mean, he's going to really eat into Chris Carson's, you know, volume when Chris Carson rushed for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns last year.
It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be a great season. And Nate, thank you so much for coming on and doing an hour. And I'm sorry, I did prep other questions for you, but Joe and I are chatty Cathys, and we went way, way overboard, but you got to answer those questions and you did a great job.
I appreciate it.
You'll follow
well, it looks like we'll have to do another episode. I'll just, you know, I've got a sheet full of notes here for other whole bunch of other questions. We should just do another one.
Hey, we could do another one. That's not a problem. So we'll get you on maybe next week. So at Sounds Dominate good, FFF on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports, at Isn't the Welsh, at Joe Pizapia 17. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy.